live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
6:13. How you doing?
Goodbye, baby.
Good. Me too.
Yes, I'm going. Steve, how you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Steve, how are you?
You know, I'm all right. I'm fine. Thanks.
Good.
You're looking good, Steve. How's it going?
Thanks. Steve, how you doing?
Thanks.
Good
to see you. Yeah, okay, all right. Show number 896, Karen Conti coming up. Eddie Johnson will join us. Is he in the studio or on the phone?
He's going to be on the phone with us today.
All right.
Dealing with a lot of stuff last night.
They're turning on Buckingham Fountain today. Is it the 90th? Or Saturday?
It's the 90th, I believe.
90th anniversary of Buckingham Fountain? I was talking to Sandberg about this off the air. Is Married with Children the worst sitcom, the worst hit sitcom of all time? Remember they had Buckingham Fountain at the end of it?
Love and Marriage.
Now you got Ed O'Neill and what's her name?
Katie Sagal.
Well, Katie Sagal too. No, but I was thinking of the daughter.
Christina Applegate.
She got three significant stars that came out of it. And
Steven Seagal,
the action hero.
Jonathan Seagal, Livingston Seagal.
No.
What happened to the kid, the boy?
He would be one that didn't cross over to big time.
But you're right. There were three big
three stars
that came
out. It was a terrible, terrible show. Have you watched it?
Not recently, but I used to. It was awful.
But it got ratings.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
You know, there's a new show that was on last night that I think Tina Fey is producing, something news.
It's a great news or something. Yeah,
I've
on NBC.
Awful.
Oh,
I didn't watch it, but I've seen the promos.
I DVD'd it, so I'm not going to watch it now.
Awesome. I hate when you have someone so successful and then their next project is not so great.
We're talking about Tom Hanks' movie, The Circle. It's not really his movie. It's more of an Emma Watson movie.
Yeah.
I'm doing this new thing now where I only get one of the names.
Emma Seagal.
Emma Watson, her movie, The Circle. But The Circle's awful. And you think, how does Tom Hanks make a bad movie at this point?
Yeah. Boy, I don't know.
So
it's pretty rare.
But this Tina Fey thing is, it's unwatchable. And Andrea Martin's in it, you know, from SCTV.
Oh, yeah.
Funny.
Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
It was my twin.
Awful.
Should I just delete it, not even watch it?
Yeah, seriously, it's a waste of time. Why was I talking about any of this? Oh, Buckingham Fountain.
Oh, yeah.
Buckingham Fountain. We're going to have the guy that's in charge of the company that turns on Buckingham Fountain. And John DeCoste here. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
We'll talk about karaoke coming up, and you can get your entries in, and we'll get to details on that later. Let's do traffic, and then we'll do the top six. Here's Mary.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Six.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is six.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
Six things you're going to be talking about today because they're already news. Two on-duty Chicago police officers were shot in the back of the Arts neighborhood last night on the city's south side, sitting in an unmarked car.
Yeah.
But don't they have a sense they feel like it was planned?
Well, they were definitely ambushed. They're questioning three people this morning. They say it's definitely gang-related, but the officers were responding to an earlier incident, and they literally were ambushed by who they believe were gangbangers. The officers are expected to be okay,
they're
both of
survive.
Them. They're going to survive. Yeah, one was touch and go, but they're both stabilized this morning, and three people now are being questioned. They don't have the suspects, but they're questioning three people after these two police officers were shot right in the middle of their investigation. But they are going to be okay, Steve.
James Comey, the FBI director, expected to be on the hot seat today when lawmakers from both parties question his judgment on investigations into the Hillary Clinton email mess from last year and Russian meddling in the U.S. election. This begins a week of Russia investigations into ties to the Trump White House and Russia meddling with the election. That's the big question, is the election meddling. A lot of the congressional reps will get sidetracked and try to figure out every possible way to tie Trump to it. He may well be tied to it. But the big story is, why does Russia involve themselves in our election, and how do they do it, and how do we stop it, and what do we do about it? Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton said on Tuesday, if the election had been on October 27th, I'd be your president, because that was before the end game came, when Comey came out and said Anthony Weiner's computer has emails on it that may or may not be involved with Hillary Clinton, creating more suspicion. This is all part of a discussion Hillary Clinton had yesterday with Christiane Amanpour, the terrific, seems like lifetime reporter for CNN. She's been on there forever. And from war zones and some of the toughest spots in the world. But there's a women's conference in Pennsylvania yesterday. Yeah. And she and Hillary Clinton sat down. They were talking about it. Hillary Clinton's getting crushed over this. I heard it. I didn't hear it the same. I don't need to hear from Hillary Clinton. I mean, she comes out. She's still got twigs on her because she's been in the woods. So she's picking the twigs out of her outfit and stuff. But she was addressing a women's conference. I thought the things she said were appropriate. Mm-hmm. And what she said was, in regards to, she doesn't want to give away everything that's going to be in her book. She's entitled to not do that. And she's getting crushed this morning about how she should have said it was all my fault and I should have gone to Wisconsin. It wasn't a forum for it. And she ran a terrible campaign. She said, I have a lot to apologize for. But anyway, she's getting crushed today. I don't entirely understand.
I don't know why either, because Christiane Amanpour asked her the question, which I thought it was a great interview. I saw it too. And the first thing she said was, it was not the best run campaign. There are things I should have done differently. But she asked her why she thought she lost. And she said, because of the Comey email and the Russian hacking.
A lot of angry
and
Democrats.
People were swayed.
Democrats ought to be angry about the fact that a bunch of them didn't vote. So, that's really the big deal there, too. Hillary headed back to the woods now with Bigfoot. Congress about to take a recess. Oh, thank God they work so hard. Mm. They come back. They do 7-8 days in a row. They've got to get a break. And what's the constant excuse? Oh, we're going back to our districts.
We've got work to do
in our districts. Yeah, okay.
Where they don't hold any of the town hall meetings anymore.
Yeah, they don't do the town hall meetings because they're gutless. So, the only guy I see, honestly, out and about everywhere is Senator Durbin.
Oh, yeah.
And he's running around all the time, and he's never, he doesn't run around with an entourage. He doesn't run around with protection. Mm-hmm. And Senator Durbin is the guy that actually appears to actually be doing work in the district. The rest of them, I think, ought to be filling out paperwork and doing a time card. We want to wish him well this morning.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, he had a medical procedure to correct an abnormal heart rhythm.
Right.
He says he's doing well.
Yeah, so he'll be up and running around probably as soon as today.
Yeah.
Anyway, Paul Ryan is trying for a third time to rally his party around a revised health bill, but no vote, has been scheduled. Speaker Ryan's been a disappointment almost since the moment Trump was elected, and the way he's handled this, as far as I'm concerned. I know he's got to protect races in the House and re-election bids next year, but I've been a backer of his and a fan of his, and he's making it harder every day. He was certainly one, before he took the speakership, who knew the Republicans had no plan to replace Obamacare and this repeal and replace thing that's gotten the Republican Party in so much trouble. Once you become Speaker, you're in charge of that. So as far as I'm concerned, the fact that they have no viable way to get the, even though they control the House and the Senate, no viable way through the House to get a bill that would be passed in the House first and have a shot in the Senate, well, that's largely Paul Ryan's fault. He's the boss.
And how about a straight answer, too, for whether you'll be covered if you have a pre-existing condition?
Yeah.
Number one, just say yes or no, and if you'll be able to go out of network without penalty.
Yeah, here,
just Ryan's lay it out on the line.
Ryan's got a lot to explain. What are you saying, Steve?
Here's the thing, that if they don't do the right thing, new Washington Post ABC News poll, 79% of the respondents say Congress and Trump should just make Obamacare work. They don't want it repealed or replaced.
Well, because there's a lot of Republicans out there who are making the best of Obamacare, the mess that it is, and they don't want it yanked out from under them.
Yeah.
So there you go. Talk of a U.S. auto boom being over, a fourth straight monthly sales decline, putting a dent in automakers' shares on Wall Street. Sure, that's a trend. 4 months is a trend. But it looks like it's going to take a little longer than that to figure out if they're really in trouble. Tom McDonald is a plumber and a baseball fan. We got to see if we can maybe get him on. This is cool. He's a plumber. Keep that in mind. He's paid tribute to a friend of his, Roy Regal, who died, by flushing Roy's ashes down toilets at ballparks around the country.
Well, that's awesome.
Yep. Yeah, they're Mets fans.
Great.
Yeah, baseball pals.
And you know where the Mets play.
Shea. No, formerly Shea.
The new Shea?
Yeah, City Field. Yeah. And where is it? It's in Flushing.
Oh, how about
right?
That?
Oh, so they did. They did come to. He did come to Chicago. He did not flush the ashes at Wrigley. He did at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Why didn't he do Wrigley?
Because his friend, they're Mets fans, and because they hated the Cubs too much.
Oh.
Said his friend wouldn't have wanted it.
You got to be fair. If you're going to do one ballpark, you have to do them all.
You would think.
And you can flush them at Wrigley and then haunt the ballpark.
No, we don't need any more curses. No,
I just want to go on the record for the rest of you that if I kick, I don't want to be flushed on any toilets.
We're not going to do that to you.
Duly noted.
I mean, that's just not going to happen.
We'll put you on a golf course somewhere.
There you go. And after 108 years without a World Series title, the Cubs get one. How long does it take for? This is why we can't have nice things.
That's right.
This is why we can't have
exactly
nice things.
Right.
The kids running around playing with a World Series trophy. Let's go live to Dave. How much damage was done to the World Series trophy at Theo Epstein's event?
You know those flags that ring the trophy?
On the thin flagpoles.
Yeah, they got damaged a little bit, but they've already been repaired. They were
because
immediately
someone bent
repaired
them back. Mom's coming! Mom's coming! Fix it!
Well,
you know what they were doing?
Keep it in a case, though?
Well, it was like crowd surfing the World Series trophy at this hot stove, cool music event in Boston.
I blame Theo Epstein.
Well, he was kind of responsible for it.
It's his party. Now, the Stanley Cup, it's an honor when you dent it or it ends up in a river, you know, or it's taken hostage.
You don't want to know what's done with the Stanley Cup,
this
right?
This is the delicate World Series trophy.
Yeah. Right. But before you blame Theo Epstein, just remember that you wouldn't have it in the first place were it not for Theo Epstein.
Is there a chance that Theo Epstein is rebuilding the World Series trophy right now? It's going to take 3 or 4 years, but he likes his chances.
No, I don't think it's going to take that
long.
He's
refurbishing the flags.
Nope. Is he hiring some young engineers to work on it?
I got some kids working on it.
Yep. Super glue.
Already done.
Okay. So it's going to be okay.
It is fine.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go. That is your top six at 6:26. And let's take a break and come back to the big story next. 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Should I say this out loud? I got my property tax bill yesterday. It was less than I thought.
Oh, good for you.
Should I say that? I'm the number one talk
show. Should I say this? I got mine Monday, and it was higher than I thought.
We're supposed to. Everybody should appeal those, right?
You should.
Isn't that what we've learned?
It's free. Don't be, you know, you'll get these ads saying, oh, we can appeal your property taxes.
But since I think
mine is free.
Since I think mine was lower, if I appeal it, can it go up? Probably could, right?
They could
probably raise it.
It could.
I wouldn't appeal it then, Steve.
Yeah, I don't know. Seemed weird. By the way, it's still a lot, but it was less than a lot of what I thought it would be.
Appeal it because it is free.
Will you do it? Because I'm tired.
Yes.
Here's Karen Conti. Karen Conti is a lawyer of extraordinary power. And she would love to be able to help you or direct you in the right direction to people who can, because she knows everybody. Who do they talk to? And by they, I mean those listeners right there.
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
You know, I was talking about my property taxes. I want to ask you about this Zillow story. For people that don't know Zillow, what's the best way to describe it? It's a home selling real estate site. Does that sum it up pretty well?
Yeah, you know, they seem to do several things. One is just list properties and what approximate values are based upon some logarithm that they generate. But there's also an avenue to sell your home on Zillow. I don't know exactly how it works, but you can actually list your property and have it be for sale if you want to do it by owner. So it has several different processes that you can use it for. I think people use it as a starting point when they're looking at homes.
It will also email you, too, if you sign up for the alerts and you're looking in your area, because I've gotten those.
Yes.
It'll say, you know, you can get this property for this amount. It's not set in stone.
But here's my question. Do they do comps for homes that aren't for sale? So, in other words, if somebody in my neighborhood is selling their house, will they do their, quote, Zestimate? This is Zillow Zestimate. See what they did there? Will they do their Zestimate on my house as a comparison?
I believe they do. And it's not just the houses that are for sale that get Zestimates.
So you get you'd have comps, ready comps to compare.
That's correct.
All right.
And,
so,
you know, of course, it's not always accurate because, you know, you, especially in luxury homes, the idea is that when you make all these great improvements to your luxury home, those don't get factored in because Zillow has no access to that information.
Yeah, the Zillow people aren't breaking into your house to see that you redid your bathroom, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Okay. So there's a Glenview lawyer that was trying to sell his house, and the Glenview lawyer says it's worth $626,000. The Zillow Zestimate was $555,000. That, to my math, and I'm pretty good at math, is $71,000 difference. So the guy's suing?
Yeah, it's a really interesting lawsuit. I read the whole lawsuit, the complaint. And basically, she's a female, she's a realtor and a lawyer, and she brought a lawsuit basically saying that because Zillow is so low represented that her house was much lower in value, that that's affecting her ability to sell the house and is going to impact her actual sale price. Just from a legal standpoint, I read it. It's going nowhere. It's not pled properly. It's going to be dismissed. There's no question about it. She is suing on her own behalf. She probably should have hired a lawyer to do it. So I think this case is going to go away fast, but it does raise interesting questions, which are, you know, if you say on your website, which Zestimate says, this is just a starting point. It is not an appraisal. You know, we use random numbers. Here's how accurate it can be. Here's how inaccurate it can be. But still, people rely on it. People go there, and people base their opinions on it. And I know real estate agents who struggle with their clients because the clients say, well, Zestimate said it's worth this. And there's a big fight. But obviously, people believe to some extent that the values are as stated. So she might have something here, and it might be more appropriate to have a class action lawsuit. And I don't know if they need to have more, you know, strict disclaimers or better information. But again, you know, this is part and parcel of this new wave of information that's on the web that may not be accurate. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, if you say we're going to evaluate plumbers, but none of the information is accurate, but people are still going to go on your site and look and see if you're a good plumber. And if the site says you're a bad plumber, you're not going to get business.
Yep.
You know, no one's going to take a chance. So there's always a balance between the two. Buyer beware for certain. You know, you can't believe everything you read. But on the other hand, if it's the one out there, Redfin, you know, Zestimate, all these people are doing the same thing, there has to be some reliability.
Karen, are they required to put some sort of a disclaimer that you had mentioned on their websites, especially with real estate or cars or whatever it might be? By the law, do they have to put something on there saying this is not the actual price, even if it's in the small print?
Yeah, it's not really by law, Andrea. It's more like CYA. I mean, they know that they could get sued for this. So they have a very, you know, if you look at Zestimate, it goes on and on about why it may not be accurate. So it's not really by a law, statute, or rule or anything like that. It's really by the lawyers who draft these websites want to make sure that they disclaim the accuracy of what product they have on there.
Yeah, but it's like the terms agreement you try to get to the bottom of and click you agree to as fast as possible when you sign up for a website. Nobody reads it, right? Nobody reads it or nobody cares to do it because what's easier than just clicking on the cover page of the neighborhood you're looking at and seeing those Zestimates, as Zillow puts it. So I get why this lawyer is upset. She should be upset. But she's not asking for money, is that right?
She's asking for an injunction, which means to stop them from putting false information on the web, false opinions. And she claims that this is an appraisal. And she cites the law of Illinois that says appraisal is really just an opinion on what something's worth. And you can't do an appraisal unless you're a licensed appraiser. That's strictly in the law. So even though Zestimate says, hey, this is not an appraisal, it's a starting point, we just generated this by computer, it kind of is an appraisal because it is an opinion onto the value of property. So again, her lawsuit will probably be dismissed based on technicalities. It's not well done, but maybe a lawyer is going to take hold of this and maybe it's going to have some traction.
Yeah, I mean, she's got something here for sure.
And her other problem is how is she going to prove that she's damaged? Now, she hasn't sold her house yet. She's having trouble selling it, but there has to be a tangible loss. So let's just say that she sold her house for $70,000 less than she believes it's worth. How do you prove that was really the value? Because the ultimate test of the value of a property is, what does it sell for, right?
Yeah.
That's really where you go with these things. So it's hard to show if Zestimate really drove down the value of this property.
Yeah, so that's interesting you say that because, honestly, then to prove damages, she'd have to sell it at a loss compared to what she wants and then blame Zillow.
Exactly, and everyone gets less for their house than they think it is worth. So, you know, that's a hard thing to prove.
We're going to see more of this, not less, right? Because it's the Wild West. It's the Internet. We're writing these laws as fast as we can.
I, I agree. And, you know, I think there's a lot of garbage on the internet. I'm not saying that Zillow is garbage. I think they probably do a pretty good job given their circumstances. But you can't believe everything on the internet, and it's just not vetted. And, you know, it's going to cause some people to be harmed, and it's going to cause some people to be better informed. So there's always the good that comes with the bad.
You mentioned before the idea that, you know, if you're a plumber and somebody knocks you online and says you're a bad plumber, that it can hurt business. Is there anything legislatively now that's being discussed, or maybe something that's already a law that protects you from getting slammed on the internet?
I don't see anything down the pike. I mean, we have the First Amendment, which is a very strong right. And, you know, people have a right to say, I had this plumber and he was bad. People have a right to say that. Now, they do that at the risk of being sued, of course, but who has the money to sue? So these things usually right themselves in the market. But, you know, it's imperfect, and it's really unfair. I've known businesses that have gone out of business, restaurants where they've gotten slammed. You know, people had a lot of choices, and if there's a bad review, you go to the next person, next business. So I don't see any legislation really tending on any of this stuff.
But there is part of it that's truly unfair, because if somebody's just got an axe to grind, you know, pardon the leap here, but this is an extension of revenge porn. You know, I've got a naked picture of you that I took when we were having fun. Now that you dumped me, I'm going to put this out online. It's not to that extent, maybe, of damage, but if I've got a business that you don't like because you don't like me, and you choose to slam me online, you can absolutely cost me money.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, there are people that are not happy with anything. So it doesn't matter if you're a
true.
Good lawyer, or a good plumber, or a good B&B, whatever you are. You know, people are going to come and they're angry, and some people are off kilter and they leave horrible remarks. And, you know, it's very damaging. And I think everyone should just really look at these things with, unless it's a tangible fact. You know, when you look at hotel sites and they say, you know, the rooms weren't clean, or there wasn't a health club, or something tangible where you can say, all right, this person at least is giving me details, rather than this place just is the worst place I've been. You know, that doesn't mean anything, but it's a whole different market now. Now it's based upon consumers and what they have to say, and even lawyer websites. You know, we are told if you get a bunch of clients to say you're good, then your rating goes up. I mean, it's kind of false, right? I mean, you tell your good clients to put good things on there to make yourself look better. It doesn't really mean anything.
A lot of emails and texts on the Zillow question. Here's one quick one for you, Karen. The Zestimate met on our house has dropped $110,000 in the last 30 days. Does that seem credible? Should we get a lawyer?
So, I'm sorry. So she's saying that the house dropped
the Zestimate,
of Zillow?
Yeah, she said the Zestimate met on our house has dropped $110,000 in the last 30 days. Does that seem credible? Should we get a lawyer?
I don't know how it could be credible, right? Because how could it vary by that much in a month?
Right, but I think that's what they're asking. I mean, if it goes down that much, and say you're going to buy a house and you see that, but that their house is worth $100,000 more.
If my house dropped $100,000 in a month, I would hope the only reason would be that I set fire to it.
God forbid.
I mean,
right?
That's a significant change. But then again, getting a lawyer, what does that mean?
Yeah, well, assuming that you're not going to go anywhere with it, it's super expensive. The only reason this woman did it is she could afford it because she's a lawyer. Again, she probably didn't plead it right. But I think, you know, that Zillow will take in information. It sounds like this woman tried to get information to Zillow to say, listen, this is why my house is worth more. It's in a different area. You compared it with the wrong homes. You were comparing apples to oranges. You know, maybe the avenue would be that this woman would, you know, give Zillow the information they need to make sure that this is an accurate drop. Why did this drop? Is it, you know, did a house sell in the neighborhood for less? Was there a foreclosure? You know, what caused this property to go down? And maybe try to remedy it through Zillow before lawyering up, because that's probably going nowhere.
And let's wrap with this. Explain the basics of suing somebody, because we all think, because we watch TV, the minute we're wronged, we can sue somebody. The only people that should sue somebody are people who have been damaged, correct?
That's correct. There has to be a cause of action, which means that you have to have a reason. It has to be a breach of contract or negligence. And you have to know what those elements are in the law. So it's complicated if you're not a lawyer, because you're not going to put that on paper the right way. And you also have to have damage, exactly. And you have to have cause. So that's what one of the problems with this lawsuit here is, has she been damaged, and did Zillow proximately cause that damage? Or was it market conditions, or was it the neighboring properties? I mean, you know, you have to prove all of those things, and it's difficult. you know, is difficult to win when you're a lawyer. It's really hard to win when you're not represented by counsel.
Yeah. If you ever get the inkling to sue somebody, lay down for a while and see if it passes. And then if you still feel the same way when you get up, call an attorney. Don't do it on your own.
That's really good advice, unless it's something small claims or it's a small amount and it's user friendly to go to the court and file those things. But still, it's a lot of time. No one likes to be in court when they don't know what the rules are, and it's stressful. So some of these things I tell people, you know, $2,000, it's a lot of money, but do you really want to spend a year in court missing work? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, your time has value.
Yep.
Thank you, Karen Conti. Number at your office?
Okay, it's 312-332-7800 or kconti@kcontilaw.com.
All right, go to work, will you?
All right, I will.
She's okay. The best. The best.
Mary Vandeveld is going to do traffic right now and tell you where your cars are. I think we have the big thing for the summer. Wasn't last summer the Pokemon thing where you were searching for Pokemon
Go?
Yeah.
Pokemon Go, and it lasted. It was crazy. It was never going to cool off. It's always going to be the hottest thing.
Yes.
It lasted a month and a half.
Right.
What are fidget toys?
Oh,
I
yeah.
saw that.
Yeah.
It's supposedly a huge thing in middle schools now, in elementary schools. Kids aren't paying attention. Someone explain fidget toys to me, 312-981-7200, and why they're a problem. And by the way, as an audio aid, if you have one that you can hold up to the phone and drive me crazy, that would be even better. 312-981-7200 if you are involved in the fidget toy controversy.
I believe, didn't we call them as kid tops?
Is that what it is?
Isn't it kind of a spinning little?
It does spin.
It looks sort of like a mini drone.
Yeah, it does.
It's supposed to keep you focused, isn't it?
I heard a guy killed a guy with it.
No.
Fidget toys, 312-981-7200. Help us with this. Help us understand, won't you? After this on 720 WGN. All right, fidget toys. Let's go to the source here. Kendall is a seventh grader and is in the midst of fidget toy mania. Kendall, do you have one?
I do not have one, but in seventh grade, in my grade anyway, like, a lot of the boys have it, and my teachers actually put up, like, banned, like, banned signs, so we're not allowed to have them anymore.
Well, what is it? You just spin it on your finger?
Yeah, so you put it in between your thumb and your index finger on one hand, and then you take the other hand, and you just spin it back and forth. And it's supposed to help you focus, I guess, but a lot of the people who have it just want it as a toy.
And the kids that have it, are they distracted instead of focused because so many people have them?
Yeah, a lot of people are distracted with them because, I mean, it's like a toy, so they just keep playing with it instead of listening.
Well, if you need to fidget, can't you, like when we, you know, we're old, Kendall, but when we went to school, you'd tap your pencil or your pen or you'd twiddle your thumbs. You know what twiddling your thumbs are?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
when you want
to fidget, how do you fidget?
I usually just like tap my foot or just
yeah, tap your foot.
My pencil.
Your fidget foot. Tap your fidget foot. All right, Kendall, thank you very much. Hold on, Kendall, I'm going to give you something for helping educate us. Let me get Paul in here as well. Paul, you're a parent of a 10-year-old?
Yes, good morning, Steve. Yeah, I had to fight my son to get it out of his hands right now. But I think a lot of kids at his school have it as well. So I had to find a specific one at a specific store that has two numbers with it to get the one he wanted.
Oh, there's different kinds? Of course there is.
Yes. If you go on Amazon, there's about 200-300 different ones.
We Amazon
ours. Different prices.
Yeah. So you basically just hold it between your fingers and spin it.
Yes. And there are videos online where you can have tricks to basically pass it between one hand and another.
You know, this doesn't sound like focus. This sounds like distraction to not do your homework. Is your kid?
It's a new kid. Yeah, my son can do that. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, is your kid more focused because of it or less?
He's just as focused as he is, which is pretty. He's pretty focused because okay. He can do two things at once at home. So now right. It's just instead of the Xbox, it's now the fidget toys and YouTube videos.
How much do they cost?
They're not expensive. $7.99,
it
says. $8.99 up to, I've seen them for $32, but I think that's because, you know.
$32?
Yes, I saw one.
What the hell are you getting for $32?
Well, sometimes some of the colors are more expensive because they're more popular. Like the blue is really popular. So if you want yellow, you can get that one for the less expensive. Like,
you know, Paul, in the 90s, I spent $1.7 million on Beanie Babies. So who am I to talk? All right, man. Hold on. Thanks. Pat Jr. has a fidget toy?
Yes, he does. And so does Catherine, even though Catherine really doesn't need fidget toys. But Patrick's 10, and he's got them. And they use them for calming. He also has, like, calming clay and things like that for...
You give him, like, a... what do they call the pets you take on airplanes to calm you? And...
Oh, like a... Not a special needs dog, but...
Well, it depends on the dog.
Well, no, if you...
Therapy.
Yeah, stress-free dog.
I think he would love a therapy dog. I'm going to go with the $8 fidget toy myself.
Give him
I
a therapy ferret.
Hair and...
Hey, a therapy monkey. Hey, that'd be fun.
Do you
dogs
guys remember,
are special.
Though,
weary had, dogs are special.
I know they are
had
very
some,
special.
We had some toys that were kind of like that when we were kids. I mean, remember there was one that was kind of like a wand, and then it looked like a little fidget toy that was kind of would go up and down the wand.
No. I do know that.
Dave and I had rocks.
Yeah. We had a slinky. Slinky, that was pretty...
Those Chinese torture things where you stick your fingers in and can't get out.
Or remember the string? I mean, literally, remember we would take a piece of
string. We had a rock and we had a stick.
Yeah. We would take a piece of string and weave
it. Padlocks.
The paddle thing.
Rubber ball.
And use the string and go underneath.
No, that was way too advanced.
You know, one of my favorite toys was a cardboard box, making a fort out of it.
Oh, my goddaughter likes cardboard boxes.
Yeah, it'd be funny. Let's get a big box in the newsroom and see if Steve gets in it.
Yeah. Put like some holes in it.
Kids still love to play with boxes.
You can play with my goddaughter. She's 4.
All right. So listen, if you want to spend $30 on a fidget toy, go for it. I mean, that's the new thing to do. And here's what you do. In 20 years, you'll have your own radio show and you'll call in and you'll go, why did people spend money on fidget toys? Or whatever the current thing is then. We had oxygen.
We had air.
We just breathe. That's what we did. We need a break. We'll come back. News next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A couple of financial wizards.
Those Rockefellers.
Get a tray for these two great big important Samoans here.
We'll save them for seed. A toast.
A toast. A toast to Mama Dollar and to Papa Dollar. And if you want to keep this old building alone in business, you better have a family real quick.
If you don't have it, dance to it. There's a lot of good money songs. I mean, you would run out for a while if you tried to do a countdown.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need
Former Wall Streeter Stuart Sopp standing by. He is with Current.com, C-U-R-R-E-N-T. Says there's a new tool out to help you teach your kids about money and spending. It may make you better at it as well. We'll get Stuart in here. Good morning, Stuart. How are you?
Yeah. Morning.
Yeah, morning to you. Current.com, what do you do there?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah
I'm the founder and CEO of Current, based here in New York. As you rightly mentioned there, Current is focusing on enabling people to better manage their money with their family and friends, which I'm sure we could all do a little bit of help in that area.
So what is this Smart Visa debit card specifically?
Yeah, absolutely. We have this new product out next week. The Current student account, the smart debit card and app for teenagers, and it has a bunch of cool features. So, you know, 60% of parents, 60% of teenagers still don't have a transparent or secure way, a digital way or payment method or checking account. Basically, we're giving them cash. We're giving them those expensive prepaid or gift cards. So we don't know where they're spending. We certainly don't know what they're buying. Or if they're sending money or requesting money off their friends. So we aim to make that all different and transparent. So, you know, any parent listening will know this feeling of not having cash on them. And when you promised your teenager something, you know, mowing the lawn or cleaning their room. And we just want to make your life easier and digitizing.
Smart.
This whole allowance game.
Yeah, and the important thing is to teach kids that there is a value to money. And the value of money is associated with work, which in turn will get you money so that you can, in fact, spend money. Because, you know, I've a bunch of friends who say, well, my son or my daughter said, well, you can afford it. Well, yeah, but the answer to you can afford it is, yeah, but you can't. Because at some point you got to look at them and go, I'm not buying it for you because I can. You know, if you want that, you need to earn it. That's the way you can teach them. You know, you folks that are doing well go, oh, I don't want my kid to grow up spoiled. Look, you can spoil a kid making 40 grand a year. you can spoil a kid making all the money in the world. You know, it depends on how you do it. And there's a lot of mistakes I made with my own kids' money, but they both have jobs and they both work and they both spend their own money. And somewhere along the line, they learned it. So, Andrea, say hi to Stuart.
Hey, Stuart. Hey, quick question. Are these sites safe and are these cards safe? Number one, if you lose them, can you call in and say, you know what, I lost the card, I misplaced the card, so somebody else doesn't pick up and use it? And I've been getting these emails lately for this Visa Quick Pay. Sign up for that. Are these sites safe, especially for the young people?
Absolutely. That's a good question. So security is the top of our mind when we've built Current. We have first-class anti-fraud service providers. We're a Visa debit card. Obviously, there's some trust involved in being with them. That's a very long process to get Current up and running. We're very safe and secure, is what I would say, to protect you and your family. It's like our number one concern here at Current. Obviously, my history in finance and Wall Street, that's always been a concern in terms of legal and compliance as well.
What if they want to hand the card to their friend?
Yeah, so if you lose your card, we have pause the card functionality in the app. One tap and the card won't work. And then you can call in if you've lost it and reorder another one. The other thing is you can use it if you want to ground your kids. The parents have master control, so if you've had enough and they've done something wrong, you can pause that card. And if they've given it to their friends, it's the same functionality. It's just one tap, very safe and secure, easy to use.
So they can load it. Can they take money off it?
Yeah, that's your choice. There's a bunch of parenting features for parenting options, which are our features, for want of a better term. You can block merchants specifically if you don't want them to eat junk food, whole categories, including ATMs. So if you want to load up their card every week or every month or whatever you want to do, all those one-off chores that they're doing around the house, which I'll go into in a sec. You can say, hey, I don't want you to take cash out this week, or I can limit how much cash that they can take out. So really, depending on the age, 13, 14, 15, you may, you know, just like training wheels or teaching your kid how to drive, you eventually then sort of start to open up the features and say, hey, now I trust you. Now you have good financial discipline. We actually have a standalone call to action called Chores for parents that, you know, say, like you just correctly said, hey, you've got to work and do this around the house. You can build a chore sheet digitally. And then when you assign them a task, you can assign them a financial reward, like get an A in math or maybe clean your room for $2 or $3. When they've completed that task, they then either take a picture or whatever they've done, and then it gives you a push notification. You release the money, and then they get their cash, hard-earned cash on their card, ready to spend for the things they want to do, which is all online now. It's iTunes, it's Amazon, it's H&M, or whatever it is they want to spend, or some of those game websites.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. It's well thought out. John DeCoste, say hi to Stuart.
Hello, Stuart. I just have a quick question for you. My son is 26, doesn't live at home. When can I look forward to not giving him his allowance?
I don't think it ever stops, does it? So at 26, you know, we're building these solutions between family and friends. And so, of course, we're releasing Current. I'm very excited to go public early part of next week. So we look forward to inviting you onto Current as a way of saying thank you to WGN and being very, very, very kind to us. If your listeners or yourself, when you sign up for Current, Current to you, RRENT.com. You type in the promo code WGN free, FREE, and you get a 1 month free to check us out. No fun.
That's great.
And
that's great.
See how it goes.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you for the information, Stuart. I think you have something that legitimately can make a difference with people, because essentially what you've done here is digitized reward, punishment, and behavior and rolled it all into knowledge for kids. I think it's well done.
Thank you. Yeah, three wallets: spend, save, give. Digitizing that age-old financial discipline that the kids get when you open the account for them, and so, you know, encouraging them to save and also to give back to their local community or national cause. We've connected all 2 million 501(c)(bs). So,
wow.
So you can give back to your local church or whatever it is, tithing and all that stuff, straight from the app, and the parents get the tax break too. So there you go. Everyone's winning.
Well, well done. Thank you. Hold on. I like that idea. I do.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
But now it's harder for kids to ask for money, right? Because supposedly, I got $5. Could you digitally transfer to my debit card $5?
Yeah.
Please.
And the best is when your parents would drop you off, your dad would give you $20, and your mom would, and he'd say, don't tell your mom. And then your mom would go, here's $20. Don't tell your dad. Walk away with $40. That's college food for 2 weeks.
You scammer.
Maybe three.
Scammer. Unbelievable. You know, I once was a disc jockey. On a dark desert highway. This may be the greatest guitar song ever. Warm smell of colitas rising up through the air. The Eagles have filed a lawsuit accusing the owners of a Mexico hotel of using the name Hotel California. In a complaint filed Monday, the Eagles said owners of the 11-room Todos Santos Hotel in Baja California Sur actively encourage guests to believe the hotel is associated with the band and sell T-shirts and other merchandise to make guests feel welcome. You can leave this up, dude. Leave it up. The allegedly includes playing and piping Hotel California and other Eagles songs through the hotel sound system. Just wondering how the lawyer defends that. It had nothing to do with the Eagles. What are you talking about? It's a coincidence. Welcome to the Hotel
California. I've been to the real Hotel California.
I didn't know there was a real Hotel California.
There is. It's in Cabo. Well, just outside of Cabo.
Eagles should sue them, too.
Yeah.
Was it a lovely place? Or?
It was.
I love seeing Don Henley try to explain. If you ever watched the Eagles documentary from a couple of years ago. Don Henley trying to explain what this is and finally getting exasperated as only Don Henley can and going, it's whatever you want.
And also every...
It's like watching Trump answer a question.
They have that Glenn Fry fish fry every Friday.
The Glenn Fry fish fry. But it's not the same.
No.
It's completely not associated with the Eagles. Speaking of music, at 728, if you sing in the car, whether it's Hotel California or any of the Eagles songbook, or any song whatsoever, you are eligible to play in Karaoke 17. All right, so, John, you're looking for what? Talented people?
I'm just looking for people who want to sing.
People who sing in their car.
Yeah, this is our third year. They sing in the car. We'll give them a time between 9 and 10. They can call in and sing live on the air, or you can send a video of yourself. We ask you not to be driving, but you can send a video to M. Sandberg, S-A-N-D-B-E-R-G at WGNradio.com.
Could be just audio that you tape off your phone.
Yes.
Or it could be a video clip as well.
Correct.
Now, who's done video clips on the show other than Sandberg and her family?
Mike, yes.
Jake did?
I'm going to do one today.
I kind of did one yesterday, but I didn't give it to you guys yet.
I did one, but I didn't like the song.
What are you, in post-production, Spielberg?
Well, I'm kind of nervous about, I don't know. I was kind of driving and I turned my phone on.
You're not supposed to drive and film.
I'm in rehearsals.
Oh, you're in rehearsals?
Yes.
Yeah.
Trying to find just the right number?
I'll send it to you.
I was trying to find the right song though, so I get that. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to sound too bad.
Yeah, you got to have the right song. And I did. I had a Prince song.
I would recommend Billy Joel for Dave.
I actually thought about that.
How about Elton John?
No, I don't think so. I think I need to branch out.
I can't remember what that sounded like.
I don't either.
Don't.
It was not, pretty good, actually.
It was very sweet.
Don't.
Very kind. And
don't do it.
Oh, dude.
He's a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, very sexy.
So, again, get those into M. Sandberg, S-A-N-D-B-E-R-G, at WGNradio.com.
Right.
Or after 9 this morning, be ready to call in live.
Yes, and I'll pick out a winner this week, next week, and the week after. Yep. And then we have our final here at WGN. It'll be fun.
Again, for those of you who might be new to the show, and thank you for that. And if you're not listening now, please turn your radio on. John will do the finals from the parking lot of WGN. You're not eligible to come to the studio because this is karaoke. You will sing in your car. You'll stay in your car.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
the winner will be brought upstairs.
Well, now last year we
let everybody in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I'll let everybody in.
I was going to say.
But it sounds better if I suggest the winner gets in.
That's true. That's true.
So that's coming up later in the show. We got to take a break? We'll take a break. Come back with a big story next. Stand by for that. Chicago Police Superintendent A. Johnson scheduled to appear in about 10 minutes on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
7:40 now as we continue. I want to thank Rick Kempfer, who did an interview with me for Illinois Entertainer. I just read through it, and Mike Jacobson, turn your microphone on for a second. Mike, one of the finest producers I've ever seen, got completely cut out of the story. Mike, I just want you to know I went on and on about you, and I didn't, and I was going to have it be Mike Jacobson on Ice, Mike Jacobson, the untold story, and all of it. So I apologize that you were cut. I don't know why you were cut. Have you angered someone?
Apparently.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a great job on this show, and I want people to know you're doing a great job.
Well, it sounds like me and Dr. Johnson have something more to talk about than just Mom this week.
Wow. But you know what? You know they have the director's cut, and they cut the best scenes out of the movie? He'll sell the director's cut one day. He'll write a book.
You know how the producer role goes. I've been on both sides of the mic. I've been on air. Producers, you're the offensive lineman. You do all the work.
Yeah, just block, huh?
The quarterback gets the credit, but gosh
darn
it.
Block and I'll buy you a watch.
You need that left guard.
But thank you for the fine work you're doing. And
you're
writing
welcome,
a story
Steve.
About you right now. It's 7:41. Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson joins us now. Yesterday at a memorial for the fallen. And last night gets the worst call you can get because he finds out that two of his men have been shot. Do we know how they're doing, Eddie?
Yeah, they're doing fine. We talked to them and their families last night, so their spirits were good. One was shot in the back, and the other one shot in the arm and the hip, so they should make a full recovery.
And these cowards that rolled up next to him and shot him, do we know if they knew there were cops?
Well, they had their Chicago police vest on.
Okay.
So... You know, we're assuming that they did. We know that they were targeted, you know, for whatever reason. You know, so we will get them. We will get them. There's no doubt in my mind.
Hey, can you imagine, though, from the time that you entered the academy to now, that we'd be living in a time when people would have the temerity and the stupidity to roll up next to a couple of cops and just open fire? I mean, when I was a kid, nobody did that.
No.
Yeah, it's unbelievable to me to where we are as a society right now, and it's getting worse, you know. And that's the perfect illustration of how dangerous it is for these officers every day when they put that uniform on and go to work. They just have no idea what to expect on a day-to-day basis. But I'm proud of them because, yet still, they go out and do the job every day.
Superintendent, I we all thank you for the tireless job that you and everybody, that all the officers do. And I notice more and more, especially during the May Day marches and rallies on Monday, people thanking police officers.
It's great.
And they should. Everybody should thank, because obviously you keep us safe each and every day. And you should be commended, too, because of all the new technology that you're implementing in the 9th and the 11th districts and all throughout the city. More cameras. Talk a little bit about how that's been so successful.
The body cams or cams on poles?
Body cams and then cams on poles, too, and this interactive technology that helps self-police, too.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you all saying that. And, yeah, we've dumped a lot of technology in to help the officers with deployments on a daily basis. So we have new technology called ShotSpotter, and that's an audio technology that can point us in the right direction, to almost pinpoint where gunshots are fired. And we actually get a 5 to 7 minute head start on when we would normally get a 911 call.
Wow.
That's a great tool. And then we put smartphones in the hands of the officers in those particular districts, so they'll get real-time information. So it actually allows the officers to get there in time and us to still see smoke in some cases from the gunshot. So it's a huge improvement over what we were doing.
You know, Superintendent, as you know, and I think most people understand, the vast majority of the people in the toughest neighborhoods in the city that experience the most violence don't want anything different than the people in the best neighborhoods want. And that's for your family to have a safe day and your kids to maximize their lives and just to go on about your business. Are you seeing more help in the neighborhoods for your cops? Are you seeing more of this no snitches stuff going away?
Yeah, you know, you hit it absolutely right on the head. So what we've seen in the last year or so is more people in the community are stepping up and giving us the information that we need to bring some of these guys to justice. Because let's face it, there are a lot of good people that live in those neighborhoods that are seeing this violence, and they are sick and tired of it. So
right.
We are seeing more cooperation, so I'm pleased with that.
Superintendent, what else can people in the community do to help to make your job easier, to report crimes? What else can people do to help and get on board?
You know, I think we live at a time now where, in certain neighborhoods, you know, neighbors don't even know their next door neighbor's name. So I think if they communicate with each other a lot more and also communicate with us, you know, like I said, the vast majority of folks in these neighborhoods are good people that want to see crime reduced. So we're on the right track. And as long as we as CPD keep communicating with them, I think we'll see an improvement on it.
How are you feeling about the churches? Are the churches cohesive enough to help as a group, or is there more individual agendas there?
Yeah, you know, I've been to several churches in the last few months, and they have agreed to get out there, too, and help with the mentorship aspect of it. Because some of these guys that are out there, you know, all they need is somebody to help point them in the right direction.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. We have some that just enjoy doing it. But we have a lot of them out there that if someone reached back and touched them and just said, hey, I care about what you're doing, that would go a long way. And the churches have agreed to do that.
Superintendent, on a personal note, too, you look great. You look fantastic. What? Diet and exercise, or what? What? I want to know the weight loss.
Stop hitting on the superintendent.
Well, I appreciate that. I would hate to think that I'm doing all this hard work and nobody notices, but
we notice.
Yep, I've dropped 35 pounds since February 1st, but it's actually exercise. I do about 40 minutes of cardio every day and eating healthy. So it's not really a diet. I'm eating 4 smaller meals a day. And when I start eating in the morning, I usually eat about every 3 hours until I eat that fourth meal. So it's worked out quite well.
Hey, God bless, because we know you still have to deal with that surgery down the road. But that could still happen, at any time, right?
Yeah, so there are potential donors out there. And my son is actually a potential donor. So, you know, what I didn't know before all of this is that the doctors are more strict on the donor than they are the recipient. So they just want to make sure that a possible donor doesn't have any adverse effects moving forward. So I think we'll have something done in the next month and a half or so.
Well, again, nothing but prayers and good good feelings about it. So good luck with that. In the meantime, selfishly, because we know how the rank and file feels about you and a tough situation you stepped in to take the superintendent's job under the circumstances that you did, the question is, while you are on the mend, who's going to do your job?
Well, First Deputy Kevin Navarro is ready to go. You know, that's why you have a first deputy, and, you know, then the chief of patrol would be next in line. But we have a succession plan, so, you know, and I don't plan on being out that long, so we'll be fine.
Last question before I let you go. We saw some of the violence spread with carjackings, and, you know, occasionally you get a Gold Coast shooting, or you're getting some guys literally taking CTA to Lincoln Park or other neighborhoods. You know, just like a work day.
Right. And the smash and grabs, too.
Yeah, the smash and grabs. But like a work day, you get on the CTA train at 3, you go to Lincoln Park, you mug a few people, you clock out, and you go home. Is that spread being shut down? Because I haven't heard as much about it lately. The carjackings were news, but some of these neighborhood muggings seem to be dying down.
Yeah, I'm actually quite pleased. Those officers in those districts up north have done a phenomenal job and tapping that down. You know, we beefed up our patrols around CTA stops to ensure that that doesn't happen. So those robberies that were occurring up north have really tapped down a little bit.
And I've noticed more police officers on the CTA and on those L stops, too, especially South Loop and downtown as well.
Yeah, we have an obligation to keep everybody in the city safe. So, you know, it's a challenge, but the men and women of CPD are up to it.
We look forward to seeing you in studio soon, and thank you for the work you're doing, and obviously thanks to the men and women that serve not just you, but us every day.
Thank you for saying that, and make sure you say a prayer for those two officers.
You bet. Thanks. That's Eddie Johnson, your Chicago Police Superintendent.
Thanks, Superintendent. They are still looking for the shooters this morning.
I love when I hear the superintendent go, oh, we're going to get them.
Yeah. And they will.
Yeah, you love that.
Yeah.
Anybody that knows anything about it that doesn't talk, you're as guilty as the people that pull the trigger, so please speak up. And again, we tell you every time we talk to any cop about anything related to law and order, if you see something, say something. It doesn't have to be terrorism.
Right.
It could be a mugging on your corner, and you don't have to have all the facts. And you don't have to tell them your name.
Everything's anonymous now. The new tip line, cpdtip.com. All anonymous.
Yeah, I mean, you can give me your name if you want, but if you're concerned about giving up your name, just say, listen, I have no interest in being a part of this. This may or may not be something, but here's what you ought to know. And do whatever you want with that
Absolutely.
Information. 7:50. Hey, before we take the break for traffic, I keep having this number stuck in my head, $11.1 million for the head coach of Alabama, Dave. Why 0.1? I mean, it's $11 million. At what point does the agent sit down and go, hey, we're not moving unless it's 11-1?
It's $11.125 million.
So the extra $125,000 a year is for what?
The agent.
Well, okay, so
he's going to get more than that.
Well, here's how it. Let me see how it breaks down here.
They actually give you a breakdown?
There is a breakdown, but it's kind of
They say this will buy you a lot more in Alabama. The fine people of Alabama. You know what? $11.125 million buys you in Alabama.
What's
buys
that?
You Alabama. Buys you
right?
The whole state.
Right?
Yeah. You get a lot for $11.125 million.
Nick Saban's house.
But you better win. Not that he hasn't won.
Yeah.
And he's won pretty consistently. He didn't win a national championship this year, though. And they start to get fidgety in Alabama when you don't win it every year.
Right.
But he's got some huge. Let's see. If he gets fired without cause, Alabama has to pay him 4 years' worth of his base salary and his radio and TV fees. It would be a total of $26.9 million if they fire him. So,
and by the way, fired without cause.
Fired without cause. Right.
You know, because cause is, you know, he diddled a secretary in front of a booster. You know, that type of thing. You know, he did something to embarrass the school. And by the way, if you're not sure what diddled is, Google it. 7:51. Mary's back with your traffic, and then we'll see if Trump's tweeting. Stand by for that on 720 WGN. What do you got, Mary?
He certainly interfered in our election, and it was clear he interfered to hurt me and to help my opponent. And if you chart my opponent and his campaign's statements, they quite coordinated with the goals that that leader who shall remain nameless had. So, yeah.
That is Hillary Clinton yesterday speaking to Christiane Amanpour on CNN at a women's conference in Pennsylvania. I knew Trump would respond. It took him longer than I thought, though. He really didn't tweet till this morning, but Tweety McTweeterson has tweeted again. Here it is. FBI Director Comey was the best thing that ever happened to Hillary Clinton. He gave her a free pass for many bad deeds. The phony Trump-Russia story was an excuse used by the Democrats as justification for losing the election. Perhaps Trump just ran a great campaign. Well, listen, if you can get beyond the creepy part of him using the third person and just break that down, again, it's delusional and paranoid and insecure, but maybe Hillary was trolling him yesterday. The sad thing is I don't need to hear from either one of them, and one of them is president.
Mm-hmm.
So Hillary will do whatever she does, and she'll be a part of the conversation, or she won't. She has a book she's finishing that'll be out in the fall. That's her right as a private citizen. You'll choose to buy it or you won't. But she still haunts Trump's dreams.
Yeah.
Because he knows that she had 3 million more votes.
Right.
And he can't stand the fact that he, in fact, didn't win, so he's got to justify it at every turn. The most important part of that tweet, the phony Trump-Russia story, no. James Comey will be on Capitol Hill testifying about it today, as will the acting attorney general next week, who was fired over it. There's Sally much, Yates. Much, much more to come on this. Trump's mad at CNN as well. Trump's mad at CNN because they refused to run his positive 100-day commercial. This is how delusional our president is. In the middle of that commercial, he blasts the mainstream media as fake news. And CNN said, if you take that out, we'll run it. Otherwise, we're not going to run it. And he's furious with CNN. And he's calling him names again. He's completely delusional. Coke wouldn't run an ad that goes, we kind of suck. Try a Pepsi.
Exactly. Come on.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
If you're going to take shots and kick reporters out of your press conferences still 103, 4 days after...
Yesterday, his press secretary didn't even take questions.
How about that?
Just walked off. But
did you see what you see what the media did, though? How great was this? The pool feed, they just kept it on the empty podium for about 4 minutes.
And you remember last Saturday night when he did the snake poem as an immigration thing? In other words, the immigrants coming to this country, they're snakes. If you let them in, they'll kill you.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a poem yesterday, one of the breaks.
Oh, yeah, we didn't have time to get to this. Poem.
Would you like to hear my poem?
I'd love to.
Write a poem. Would you like to hear my poem, Dave?
I would love to hear your
Mary?
Poem.
How about you, Mary? You want to hear my poem?
Oh, sure.
Steve, you want to hear my poem?
Absolutely.
Okay. This is a poem from Donald Trump, and I'm giving this to him, and it's called...
It's got music, too.
It's called Truth with a question mark. So in other words, it's called Truth?
Let me get my lighter. Hold on.
I announced a run for president to get a better apprentice deal. I said whatever I was thinking. I always say just what I feel. As time went on, thought I'd be gone, no matter what I said. The others couldn't handle me, and eventually their campaigns were dead. And then it was just me and Hillary. And she should have cleaned my clock. Who knew she'd be the worst candidate in history? In November, the world was shocked. So now I'm the president of the United States, and people are scared to death. Might be because my press secretary gives briefings like he's on meth. But in the end, we can all agree on at least a couple of facts. I don't know what I'm doing, but I won't take anything back. So this can't last forever. Don't cry and don't sob, because the truth is very simple. I never wanted the damn job. Truth? There you go. That's the poem.
It's like a dramatic reading.
Dramatic. Ending.
Again, I'm a little overcome with emotion.
While John cries, we take this break and come back with the news before Dean joins us on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:15, the Steve Cochran Show. That's one of my favorite pieces of bump music we play because it goes like this. Hey, hey, hey. That's it. That's just the part I enjoy. It's a little joy for me. What you got to say? Cool in the gang, Hollywood swinging. At 8:15, Dean is busy talking to Jeremy Piven on the set of Channel 9 right now. Better him than me. And so front row Phyllis is nice enough to step up and cover some show business news. Good morning, Phyllis. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We are all good here. Jump in. What do you got for your first story?
Well, my first story is, did you know Beyonce actually just released a How to Make Lemonade? So it kind of goes with her Lemonade album that just was released about a year ago. But this actually comes in a box set. The only downside is that it's $300. So she teaches you how to make lemonade, and you get to pay $300 for that.
Is it a legitimate, is it a legitimate lemonade recipe?
I think it is, but, you know, it's
it seems a tad pricey.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Well, I definitely think so.
And let me just say this. I bought her book on how to make Jell-O, and it's phenomenal.
Did you pay $300 for that?
It was $310.
$310, yeah, sure.
so
story,
she's come down in price.
Yeah, she is. She's kind of,
hot water, cold water.
Must be a sale. Story number two.
Story number two is Harry Styles. Well, we remember him from, you know, One Direction. Well, he actually just released his new single, and it's called Sweet Creature, and fans are loving it. They are so excited to see him. He's going to be hitting the tour later this summer. He's actually going to be here in Chicago on September 26th over at a venue that he's never been at, and that's at the Chicago Theater. So pretty excited for that. I don't know if you heard his new single. It actually, you know, they're saying that it's a cross of, a little cross of Sting's music.
Hmm.
So, yep, he's taken a whole different direction.
I almost feel like Harry Styles needs to age 10 more years before I listen to his music. But, no, I can come around. You can convince me.
Yeah.
Story number three.
So, story number three, did you hear about the 71st annual Tony Award nominations are out? Uh-huh. Those came out yesterday. And the one that is leading the pack with 12 nominations is Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812, and as well as the new revival of Bette Midler's in Hello, Dolly. That actually got 10 nominations. So the award ceremony is going to be on June 11th, and Kevin Spacey is actually going to be hosting it this year. So,
I like Kevin Spacey as the host.
Do you?
Yeah, I think it'd be good. Yeah, he does great impressions. You saw Hello, Dolly here. Who's the lead here? Anybody we know?
Oh, that was Sandberg's stepdaughter. Was
oh,
in Hello, Dolly.
It wasn't
one
the
of
actual
the leads.
Bette Midler version.
No, but she probably could be in the original. She's so good.
Give me another one.
So another one is the Eagles are actually suing a real-life Hotel California. Did you hear about that one?
Yeah, we talked about it a little earlier, but I don't know that everybody heard it. So what's the story again?
So the story is that they're going after a Mexican hotel called Hotel California for trademark infringement, and they claim that they have ripped off the song's name. I mean, I don't know if these multi-millionaires need any more money, so I'm not really sure why they're going after it.
Well, they're protecting, you know, what are your thoughts? They're protecting it, right? They're protecting their brand. I don't think right. the hotel's lawyer did them any favors. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the hotel lawyer's opening argument started like this. On a dark desert highway, cool wind in my hair, warm smell of colitas rising up in the air. And then he went on, this has nothing to do with anything. All right, one more. You got one right. more for me?
One more. I do. I have one more. And that's Melissa McCarthy is actually set to star in a new film called Happy Time Murders. It's actually directed by Jim Henson, the puppeteer. His son, Brian, is actually directing it. And the film actually focuses on the underbelly of Los Angeles, where puppets and humans coexist. Which is new to me. How about you guys?
No, we knew that all along, the whole puppet-human thing.
Yeah,
if you, I used to work quite a bit in L.A., and if you spend any time in L.A., eventually you're going to run into people, you go, that dude's got to be a puppet. There's got to be a puppet. There's no way that's a human being. One extra meeting. All right, Phyllis, thank you for stepping up for us. We appreciate it. Hold the line and give Phyllis all the appropriate prizes. I don't think we do that. But nice of Phyllis to step in.
Yes.
At 8:25, the Steve Cochran Show continues. And we have a new longest living human ever who just died.
Oh.
You know, the thing is, we never hear about these people till they die. Yeah. You don't hear about 130-year-old Chuck, mm-mm. you know, and what he's doing today.
Oh, don't tell me Chuck died.
No, it's not Chuck. This is someone from Indonesia, mm-hmm. a chain-smoking Indonesian man who claimed he was born in 1870.
Wow.
Which meant he died at 146.
That can't be right.
Yeah, I saw a picture of him. Does not look that old, really.
Do you wish he was still alive?
He doesn't look as old as 147?
Well, what does 147 look like?
See, this guy's just lying. He doesn't look a day over 135.
Jeez.
His name is, or was, Sotomayor.
Was. Well, it still is, but.
Or Emba Gatho.
Oh.
And an Indonesian ID card that claimed his date of birth was December 31st, 1870. That was a Prince song, wasn't it? Let's Party Like It's 1870?
It was the original version.
Yes. Indonesia didn't start recording such things until 3 decades later, but authorities assured the BBC that Sotomayor's papers were valid. I'm not quite sure how you could assure they were valid if nobody had documented it.
I also
like the fact that we're all questioning this 146-year-old guy that's dead.
I just looked it up in the dictionary. Sotomayor in Indonesia means fictitious age.
Oh, it does.
Is that a song?
I did not know that.
Oh, Sotomayor.
Did not know that. I understand he was killed by a fidget toy. Flew off a kid's finger right into his mouth, and he choked to death at 146.
Not distracted anymore,
though. He just missed Andrew Jackson.
No, yeah.
That's exactly right. Unlike Trump, he would have known him.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sotomayor, we miss you. We're sorry we didn't get a chance to know you, but... dead at 146. How long do you want to live?
30 more years. 50.
You're going early, huh?
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. Love you.
Yeah. I think I'd like to make 90. I'd be okay with 90.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot this out there Friday.
Jeez.
Really?
Jeez.
I have a thing Friday, so can you wait till like Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, a week from Friday. Let me be honest. Right.
See, but I've got this weird set of heredity going on because my mother on my father's side lived to be 101.
Oh.
Her son, my father, died in the 60s.
Ooh.
For heart disease.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So if you take the average, I'm looking good about 85, 86, 87.
Ish.
Somewhere in the middle there.
My
now, Dave, you and John both have dads who are in their 90s.
Yeah, I think they're the same age, right? My dad's 93.
92.
Okay.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Your dad used to pick on my dad. I just
He did.
He was older.
And you're
so that's good.
And neither of you were too young to get, you know, the occasional smack.
And your mom, your dad is gone, but your mom,
she's
very active.
Yeah, mid-70s. I'm sorry. Said that
she's out loud,
didn't you? 61. 60.
And Mary, your dad lived a long, full life, and your mom's doing great, isn't she?
My mom's 92. My dad lived to be 92, and my grandpa was 102.
Yeah,
well, he's going to be with us for a long time.
Vandeveld's going to be. Let me go to Vandeveld's conscience on this. How long do you want to live, Vandeveld's conscience?
Well, it depends on how long Steve lives, because I don't want to be picking up his crap for the next 40 years. Because I've been already doing it for the past 50.
That's funny.
Yeah. So good.
I mean, could you imagine the taxes that I'm going to have to be paying for 40 more years? I mean, that's unbelievable.
Taxes, think about all the sunny days you're going to be able to enjoy.
It's the only sunny day we've had in 2 weeks here.
It's 8:29.
We live in Seattle.
It's 8:29. We're back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Saturday in the park, I think it was the 4th of July. Saturday in the park, I think it was the 4th of July.
People dancing. Are you going to be in the park when they turn the water back on?
Yep.
One of the rites of spring and a sign of the good to come. Nothing like a summer in Chicago. Come on, what are you talking about? Standing by on the phone to speak to us about turning on Buckingham Fountain is Fidel Marquez of ComEd, one of the senior VPs at ComEd. Let me see if I can find Fidel here. Good morning, Fidel. How are you?
I'm well. How are you this morning?
We're doing fine. Now, I'm confused a little bit. I thought that the main switch for Buckingham Fountain was in Atlanta.
Right here in Chicago.
Well, that's good. We want it here.
Absolutely.
Where did I get the idea they just turned on remotely from somewhere?
It used to be many years ago, right, Fidel?
I don't know if it was ever in Atlanta. That's a faraway location to turn on a fountain.
Okay, well, don't mock me, Fidel. I'm new. I've only been in town for, 25, 30 years.
You're right.
But at any rate, what is the process? Is there someone who gets the honor of doing this?
Yeah, we do. So this is our third year of Switch On Summer. It's an event that ComEd is working with Chicago Park District. We had a Facebook contest. About 4,000 people participated in the contest. It's about safety, and the winning family gets to throw the switch on Saturday night.
This is kind of like, you see the people that ring the bell on Wall Street. You know what I mean?
Except this is much more fun and exciting.
Yeah, and you're not going to lose any money. So have you announced the family yet?
We haven't announced the family. They will be announced and be surprised on when we have them up there Saturday. But we haven't announced and made that public.
Why? You know they're going to show up.
Oh, because they all participated in the contest with the idea that they wanted to win and throw the switch.
Oh, so everybody shows up, all the finalists, for lack of a better term, show up, and then you tell them which one won.
We're going to call them and let them know that they won.
Fidel, you're not going to go straight with me on this, Fidel. I think you're probably making this up as you go along. All right, so the family that wins have been invited. They will know when they're there that they won.
Yes, they will know ahead of time.
Yeah, you can't tell me, because if you tell me now, you'll have to kill me.
Well, if I tell you now, everybody will know.
Ah, I got it. So you want to keep a little bit of a surprise.
Hey, Fidel, how much water is actually pumped through there? And is there anything new this year? I know every year you guys change up the lights and there's
more
colors. Yeah,
how about the Buckingham Fountain fun facts? You got a few? Yeah.
Well, I don't have any fun facts on the fountain itself, but I could tell you that it is the 90th anniversary of Buckingham Fountain. So it's a big birthday celebration, one of those milestones. But we have almost two dozen partners joining us in the celebration. They're all going to have activities for all the visitors. We're going to have a couple of good bands playing. We got Fuse. They are a Carlos Santana tribute band, followed by American English, who is a Beatles tribute band playing for us all. And a member of the WGN family, Anna Belval. This will be her third year hosting the event.
Oh, that's good. But Anna, you mispronounced her name. Her name can only be pronounced by shouting. Anna Belval!
I'll remember that on Saturday.
Yes, I hope you will.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be a big party. It starts when?
It starts at 4 o'clock Saturday. 6 o'clock is when the fountain gets turned on.
You're probably going to do it in Grand Park next to the fountain, I'm guessing?
It'll be around the fountain, absolutely.
Okay, good call by you.
Yeah, you know, we want everybody to see it, so might as well gather them there.
Yeah, seems like the right idea. And the fountain, is the fountain ever turned off during the summer?
Well, I don't know if it's, it's turned off. I'm sure there may be certain situations where the city will decide to turn off the fountain, but usually it stays on.
Oh, no, but I thought you guys at ComEd had control. The city has control?
It's the city's fountain, yes. They have control. We're just throwing the party with the city.
Ah, got it.
There's okay. A little pump. There's a little, I guess, underground area where the fountain turnerounder sits.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a quite extensive pumping and piping infrastructure that no one sees that makes everything work.
We got to do that as a phone, a text question. Cool jobs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the people that sit in the bridge houses, you know, and they open and close the bridges. And I remember talking to the guy that changed the light bulbs on top of the Hancock.
Oh, yeah. Or the guy who sits in the lighthouse on a Michigan Avenue.
On the Michigan Avenue lighthouse. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, Lake Michigan.
Lake Michigan, yeah. That's out in the middle of nowhere. Well, not nowhere.
Did you say cool jobs or lonely jobs?
Cool jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they don't all have to be lonely. You have a cool job for everything. All right, at ComEd. While I'm holding on, will you check and see if my bill's paid?
Are your lights on?
Uh-oh. Yes, they're fine. And my bill is paid.
You're good.
All right, I appreciate your time, Fidel. Thanks for being on.
Hey, thank you.
See you later.
Hey, and you were 100% correct. The fountain's pumps were controlled by a computer, and we did look it up. It was located in Atlanta, Georgia until 1994, and that's when it was renovated and moved to the pump house, which is right underneath the base of the fountain.
Not just a pretty fish.
I don't know. And like you said, too, 14,000 gallons per minute.
And not just a big head, a head filled with facts. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. John?
Yes, I've always said that, and especially about Buckingham Fountain. You're amazing.
I am a fountain fact guy.
You are amazing.
Thanks, Fidel, from ComEd. It's 8:47. We'll take a break, get Marion here to do the traffic. By the way, I've been informed, I should have read this article more carefully because since I was interviewed in it, that the Illinois Entertainer article didn't just omit Mike, it omitted Mary as well.
And John DeCombs.
And Grzanich.
And Grzanich, too? Yeah. John?
You're really good on this.
There's only, I think it was good. There's only so much space.
Well, Andre had
time. Is that why Grzanich, isn't in the newsroom now? He's striking?
He's reading the article.
Are those new, by the way? You gave up the Flying Nun ones.
Yeah, no, I'm still having major headphone issues. These are not the answer.
Those kind of creep up on your goatee there a little bit.
I had a cord problem. I know exactly the kind of headphones I wanted. Nobody apparently makes them.
Come on. Someone has to.
It's pet peeve. Oh, speaking of pet peeves, I read Business Insider, and occasionally they have stories that jump out and go, well, we got to do this on the show. How about this? 13 horribly designed products that we all use pretty much every day that ought to be reinvented. I don't know if we got time to get through all 13 of these, but how about umbrellas? It's got to be something better than umbrellas that turn inside out in a windstorm.
Right. Although they just did come up with a new umbrella that doesn't turn inside out? It folds the other way.
What do you mean?
It actually, so you can pull it in the car and pull it out of the car that way, and then it pops open. It's the reverse.
Oh, it folds up instead of down.
Folds up instead of down.
Well, that's a good invention.
That is a good invention.
So there you go. We've already eliminated one of these problems.
One down. Next.
The toothpaste tube where you squeeze it from the bottom, and then you got to roll it up. And then to get everything out, you got to roll it up super tight and fold it and turn it into toothpaste origami.
Yeah.
It's got to be a better way. And they do have the pump bottles, right?
Yeah.
Those leak, though. My pump leaks. No.
Sounds like a personal problem.
No, my toothpaste. Mark it.
Same goes for the soap and the shampoo bottles or conditioner, like moisturizer, right?
Oh.
Where you have to use compressed air in the bottle to squeeze it.
Yeah.
And then to get all of the stuff out, you have to squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it. And,
oh, my
God. It's just a pain. There's got to be a better way.
Sandberg and I were talking about that this morning. You know, the big bottle. Now, you guys probably don't buy the big bottles of shampoo, but you usually get a pump that goes in.
Oh, the shampoo I go through.
But you can use a whole bottle of shampoo, but the bottom 2 inches.
Never get to the bottom.
The pump will not reach all the way to the bottom, so you have to turn it upside down. Right? Dave's nodding. Take the whole thing upside down.
It is such a pain.
Or the worst thing is when you have to fill it up with a little bit more water. Just to get the bottom conditioner out.
Right.
Sorry, it's like a first world problem, isn't it?
I was going to say.
We're going to relabel this segment, stuff the rest of the world doesn't care about.
How about the curling iron?
What about the curling iron?
It always burning my head.
I know.
What do you mean, it's too hot?
Well, I don't don't know. It just like sometimes it just clips, you know, too fast. Or I don't know. The curling iron just.
Well, how would you reinvent it?
You need something else to curl your hair. Like something you just put your head in and it curls.
Well, they have straightening irons.
Like a. I don't want to straighten. I want to. Curl like that's like cool. If you were in a
like a Judy Jetson thing,
yeah,
that you put over your head?
Like a hair dryer, but it curls your hair like automatically.
Seems like they could do that.
Yeah,
you know what might work? Wet your finger and shove it in a socket.
I was going to say that.
There you go.
Curl your hair.
Well, I don't want to look like Shirley Temple.
Yeah, well, that'd be tight curls. The question is, how much electrocution do you actually need to curl your hair to the right length? How about Wrap Rage, WRAP, the plastic wrap around products that you can't get off without a pair of scissors?
Oh, man, that drives me nuts.
Do you know a secret to that, to making it not cling?
Scissors.
Put it in the freezer.
What do you
mean? What?
You put your plastic wrap. You know, it always
sticks
to everything.
You're talking about cling wrap. I'm talking about the plastic, compressed plastic wrap around the thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cling wrap's another one, though. The cling wrap is designed to make you nuts.
It is. That's why, like I said, put it in the fridge or the freezer, and for some weird reason, it won't stick to your hands. It'll just stick to the plastic or the Corningware.
Oh. Did you know the mixed temperature faucet was patented in 1880? In 136 years, nobody designed a standard model that extends far enough to allow you to wash both hands without hitting the back of the sink. Well, that's not true. You can find that.
Yeah, you can find that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Business insider. Who are you kidding? Mm-hmm. This is one that I'm a victim of all the time. Doofus door handles. The door handles that don't really show you whether it's a push in or a pull.
Oh, yes.
And then you got it, you know, they're kind of bisexual door handles.
Like all the ones in the studios.
Right. Everybody. And then you can't decide if you open by pushing or
did
closing.
Did you call them bisexual
door
handles?
Yeah, they're bisexual. They go both ways.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. Let's see. One more.
I like those when you walk into those doors, too, and they happen to be locked. They don't tell you they're locked.
Oh, yeah. And you run into them, and then you fall down. And
hurt
yourself.
It's okay.
And no one laughs at you.
And this one seems so obvious, especially now that I've turned into a germaphobe. Why are flush handles on a toilet handles? They should be footles.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
Well, now, a lot of them are automatic.
Just step
now.
On them.
A lot of them are automatic now.
Yeah, but here's the problem with the automatic ones. How many times have you gone in and somebody didn't flush because they thought it was automatic because they're too lazy to take care of business? Yeah.
Or they flush too early, and that's always
that's
not
an adventure,
good.
Isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Surf's up.
Or if you're like
surf's
me.
Surf's up.
Feels good.
If you're
get
like
up.
Me and you dance in front of it, it'll flush and flush and flush and flush.
Yeah,
but if you're in a men's room, don't you just kick the handle anyway rather than use your hand?
Yeah.
That's right, the footle.
My leg does not go that high.
Seriously?
Yeah, no, I do.
Why not?
I do.
Why touch it with your hand?
Oh, you guys are really germaphobes.
It's not germaphobes.
It's coming from the hovering women.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I will never touch that with my hand.
Why don't
you
take a piece of Kleenex or, you know, toilet paper then and
that's
use that?
That's wasting paper.
Just make the toilet a robot and then it would just flush itself.
Just take your foot and kick it.
Yeah, but if you turn the toilet into a robot, it'll follow you out and chase you to your car.
Ah, robots!
What if you go to kick it, you miss and your foot lands in the toilet?
You could sit and talk to it while you're going in the bathroom.
It's a robot. I'm not blind.
Here's the deal. The last one, the U.S. bathroom stall doors that have like an inch width around the door. So you're sitting there, and if you look through the crack, somebody could be looking back at you.
So you're the one who looks through the crack.
Back at CLTV, who joins us next on 720 WGN. It's that time again. 9:10.
Singing in my car. In my car, singing in my car, it's called karaoke. Judged by John DeCos, John DeCos, judged by John DeCos, the judge of karaoke. A singing superstar, in my car, singing superstar, it's called karaoke.
It's not just singing in your car, it's singing in your car for prizes. And John DeCos here, that's Christopher, isn't it?
That is my son Christopher, yes.
Yes. And thanks to Christopher for doing the updated karaoke song. All right, so each week we're going to pick one person to advance to the finals.
Right.
So we may revisit this later in the week.
Oh, yes. Exactly.
So you'll still have time to enter, but we also invite people to call in this hour if you're driving somewhere and you want to sing in your car.
Right.
Yeah, because we're more than willing to judge you.
Yes.
I'd be happy to judge anybody.
Yes. No,
that's
but I
your
thought
new line.
Direct. Are you direct?
Turns out I am judgmental.
You are judgmental.
That's right. You're direct.
All right. So, Sandberg, for people that want to enter the regulation way, what do? They get an envelope and they put a record in it?
They could do that, or they can send me an email. M. Sandberg, S-A-N-D-B-E-R-G, at WGNradio.com.
Is that more efficient than going to a carnival where you can record a record and then have the record in an envelope and send it to you?
That is more efficient, yes.
Okay. How would you record it? On your phone, maybe?
I would record it on your phone.
Yeah.
And if you could keep it under a
minute. What app do I need for that to record it on my phone?
You can just use your photo. You don't need an app. Though I use Snapchat because I like the quality better when I did mine, but...
Don't I have to download a high-end audio recording app? No?
No, no. Just use your video feature on your phone.
Okay. So you can record it that way, or you could actually shoot a video.
Yes.
But we advise you to do that while you're sitting in a parking lot.
Yes.
Not while driving.
And, well, right. Now, Mary Vandeveld and I and Mike Jacobson all did videos. Mike was sitting in his car not driving. Mary and I both driving for our videos.
Reckless.
And this is why.
Not
this is why,
do that.
And we got a listener that was driving and two listeners that weren't driving.
Vandeveld, there's no excuse for you. This is what you do. Are you trying to get on your own traffic report?
I was going like 5 miles per hour. There was nobody around me. I was on
five
a side
miles an
street.
Hour. If I'd hit the kid, he wouldn't have noticed.
Can I just say that's illegal? But go ahead.
Yeah.
You guys should not drive and shoot videos.
I was passing Old Orchard Mall.
Don't do it.
Mary, I was looking ahead.
I gotta say, if you're driving and shooting videos, how do you have time to text?
Good point.
I didn't do that.
Can I maybe suggest if anybody is caught, if anybody submits one of these where they're clearly driving, they should be disqualified.
I completely agree.
Oh, okay, buzzkill.
No, I think we should.
Okay, get rid of mine. I don't care.
Yeah, no, you can't drive and shoot. This is illegal.
Okay, but what if someone else
is driving?
What if someone else is shooting for them?
That's right. I shot my family. I shoot them singing all the time.
That's different. That's fine.
Oh, that's right. My daughter was in the car with me.
Yeah, I don't think.
And also make sure that we can hear it. We had that bus driver last year with the 40 kids were screaming and. We couldn't hear the song.
Right, right. We need to hear the song. We have to be able to hear the song.
Yes.
So where can people go to see the videos of the staff people that have put them up so far, legal and illegal?
I did a compilation video at WGNradio.com on all of our socials, WGN Radio, your Steve Cochran Show page on Facebook, Twitter, etc.
Twitter is at Cochran Show.
And I just saw that. Let me add Pat and the kids are on there, too.
Pat and the kids are there. So Mike is there. Mike, and Mike does a... What do you call it when you do hand signals that go along with the song?
Oh, yes.
There's a cheek mention. Rap hand goes to
Angel
cheek.
Of the yes.
Yeah. And we have some listeners
called, I think
with
it's
the guitar.
Called lame or hack.
Yeah. And just go. He's grabbing a pantomimed microphone.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, we can't judge. We haven't submitted ours yet.
While he was driving?
He was sitting, Mary. Are you paying attention?
Oh. Yeah, I was the safe one, and also I've been known to be called the songbird of my generation. So
that's very true. Can we get a sample of your work? Or do you want to play somebody else
first?
Oh,
well, we could do me first if you want.
All right. So this is a little bit of Mike Jacobson. What song did you choose?
It's a classic by Juice Newton, Angel of the Morning.
Who wouldn't do Juice Newton?
Yes.
Juice Newton's Angel of the Morning. Here's Mike.
And if we're victims of the night, I won't be blinded by the light. Just call me Angel of the Morning, Angel. Just touch my cheek before you leave me, baby. Just call me Angel of the Morning, baby. And slowly
to wake. You know what I like about it?
Fantastic.
You know what I like about it? It's a unique choice. And there was a lot of variety there because he had a lot of different keys. He has several keys there. And Juice Newton's on line one asking us never to mention her again.
And it's a high range, too.
We could also play Mary Sandberg's sample that she did, too.
This is you and the family in the car?
No, this one's just me.
Oh, just you. What did you choose?
I did Darius Rucker, If I Told You, and I specifically waited for a certain part in the song because of what people say about
the
it.
The hook?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Darius Rucker's If I Told You, the song stylings of Sandberg.
If I told you, sometimes I get jealous, sometimes I act crazy.
No.
None
of it's true.
Yeah, you
don't think you're jealous.
I don't know if I'm really jealous, but I'm crazy.
Yeah. What was the thing you told me the other day? It was like a new crazy level. There was something where you actually said out loud, like you mumbled out loud, maybe I need help.
Oh,
I know what it was. The planters outside.
Yes.
The planters outside our house in the cul-de-sac.
My neighbor, yes.
where my street ends in the T, the house across the street, they have three of these gorgeous planters with amazing flowers that their landscaping crew does so much work on, and they're not evenly spaced. I will say a listener yesterday, I think his name was Jim, offered to come over and help me move, scooch over their one planter so that they were evenly spaced.
Right, because now two of them are in a situation you could accept, but yes. One's wrong.
Two of them are about 10 feet apart, and I think that that's correct. But then the middle one and the next one are only like 4.5 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason. I've assessed I pass it every morning. I stare at it. My lights shine on it, and there's no reason. It's not like they're going around something else. And I see their landscape crew once a week, and I think I should just like kind of talk to them about, hey, can we scoot that planter over?
Right.
Can I say something to Mary's neighbors? It's quick and easy to file a TRO. You don't need a lawyer. Just go to court. Quick and easy. You're in and out in about 30 minutes.
I know.
Can I just say I'm so happy that you and I are friends, Mary?
So you think.
Yeah. John and I have known Tim Clue, comedian Tim Clue, for a long time. And Tim Clue told us a story. And Mary, the idea that you and Tim Clue are in the same category amuses me tremendously, even though you don't know Tim.
I met Tim. He wrote that book.
Yes, but Tim told John and I that it was bugging him that there was a planter situation outside of his house.
Across the street, kitty corner from the house.
Right. Okay. So what he did was around 5 or 6 o'clock at night, he went to the local Home Depot.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
And he bought like a bucket.
Yep.
Got some topsoil.
Yep.
And like a shovel.
Yep.
And everything. The things you would use to say if you killed your husband or wife that you would use, you know, in the backyard. And then around 1 or 2 in the morning,
which is when he went outside
to actually do landscaping on this particular part of his cul-de-sac that he thought wasn't being kept up by the city.
I applaud you, Tim Clue.
Oh,
that seems.
But wasn't there like an altercation or something?
There was, because some kids came up. He was talking to them, and they asked what he was doing, and then one of them punched him in the face.
Is that true?
Kids came up on bikes.
They got
bikes.
It on video, and they drove away. It was the thing to do.
Oh. Yeah, kids came up on bikes, and they hassled him. He said, why are you doing this in the middle of the night, weirdo? And he tried to talk to him and be friendly. Hey, kids, let's calm down and talk. And one of the kids slapped him while the other kid shot it on video.
And the thing is, they took off. The thing is, he's telling the story, but we go... Our response was, in the middle of the day, he goes, no, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And we're like, you deserved it.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't condone it, but in that case, hitting Tim seemed right.
Why? So probably Mary needs a bodyguard now.
Right, because I think about doing it at 4 a.m. on the way to work. So.
Never hit Mary. Never, never, never.
Yeah, don't touch her. Don't do it.
Hit me in the stomach, at least. I don't want to be punched in the face.
Right.
We have Jennifer on the phone who wants to sing for us live.
Oh, good.
At 9:19, we're going to do this, and we're going to take the break, and we have another listener or two of samples to play. Again, John will pick a finalist this week, next week, and the week after, and those three finalists will have a chance to win fabulous prizes, which I'll announce as soon as I figure out what they are. So let's go to Jennifer. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
Good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Great. What are you doing right now?
Oh, actually, I'm waiting for my appointment for work, so I'm sitting at my desk. I'm on a busy street. There's cars going by.
Oh, okay. So this is sort
perfect.
This is sort of an adaptive karaoke. She can see cars from where she's sitting.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we'll let the judges decide. But first off, what will you sing?
I'm going to sing Top of the World by Karen Carpenter.
Very good. Tremendous. Whenever you're ready, we're ready for you.
Okay. Here goes. Thing I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. And the reason is clear, it's because you are here. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen. I'm on the top of the world, looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I found ever since you've been around. Your love put me at the top of the world.
That's pretty good.
Very nice. Good.
Was that like a karaoke track in the background, or did you like a metronome going on? What was that noise?
You know, that's, I think, Karen Carpenter in Japan on YouTube or something.
Oh, of course it is. Oh, dear. Arigato. Yes. All right, hold the line.
Phenomenal. Yeah. That was so good.
Well, technically, she's not in a car. I mean, you're the judge. technically, she's not in a car, but she had a lovely voice.
But she could see cars.
Yeah, she could
see cars.
Well,
then everybody's going to call because if they're just, you know.
Well, maybe we could have her go out in a car and re-sing
it
to you.
Yeah, just tell her to do it again.
She was good.
Or how about I'm the judge?
Yeah.
312-981-7200 is the number. Time for you to get in now if you'd like to sing for fabulous prizes and great fame on John DeCoss Karaoke. All right, so that's coming up. Mother's Day is coming up. It's funny, Sandberg's in the studio, and I'm talking about Sherry's Berries.
Mm.
I wonder what they taste like this year.
Oh, they taste amazing, actually.
Yeah. Sherry's Berries is offering huge, freshly dipped strawberries, and I'm happy to endorse them and tell you they're great because I've tried them once last year. The shipment that came in this year, I didn't get a chance to get anywhere near because Sandberg took them.
I shared them with Mary and Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
She did. They were really good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Starting at $19.99 plus shipping, right now you could double the berries for just $10 more. If you live with Sandberg, I'd get three or four boxes because you're not going to be able to get near these. Pick your delivery date. These berries are guaranteed to arrive fresh and delicious. Your money back. Gourmet dipped strawberries like you've never tried before. These are unbelievable. I remember the one I had. They are unbelievable.
Last year.
And you get several choices. There are toppings that include chocolate chips, chopped nuts. There's white milk and dark chocolate.
The white ones are my favorite.
Yeah, I'm a dark chocolate man.
I like the nuts.
All right.
Andrea was eating the nuts out of the box.
I do. I love the nuts.
You want to let Nick know about those two sentences?
On the candy.
Yeah. The only way to get to these amazing berries in the deal is at $19.99 is to go to berries.com, berries.com. Click on a microphone in the top right-hand corner and use my code, Steve C. All right, if you use that code, you're going to get second box for $10. So it's great. Again, it's berries.com. Use the code Steve C when you click on the mic. It's an amazing deal. It's not going to last long. Mother's Day is right around the corner. Don't give any to Sandberg. Have them yourself. It's Sherry's Berries. Use the code Steve C. Click on the mic and punch that in. Berries.com, berries.com. Do it today. 923, back with Dave and John. And their karaoke entries next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Singing Good Morning America, how are you? I said, don't you know me, I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Creative. Creative effort.
Just a singing good morning, American, how are you? Don't you know me, I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans.
Remember, Arlo Guthrie had a hit with this. It was written by Steve Goodman. And that was Susan and Tim Mokarski singing City of New Orleans. Another karaoke entry.
And Mary mentioned that the middle of their name has car in it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, which has nothing to do with anything.
No, but it's kind of cool.
All right. We have Dave and John, the listeners, not the people here on the show, who are ready to sing. Let me go to Dave here and find out where he is. Dave, where are you right now?
Right now I'm on Route 6 in Indiana.
What do you plan on singing for us, Dave?
Well, go a little off the track. How about the campaign song for Franklin Delano Roosevelt from 1932?
You know what? If we get another entry like this, how many people are going to call in and do FDR's campaign songs? All right. Whenever you're ready, let me hear it.
Three. Come on and row, row, row with Roosevelt on the good ship USA with Franklin D for victory and for real prosperity. He's honest, he's strong, and he's steady. That chip off the glop that gave us Teddy. Come on and row, row, row with Roosevelt on the good ship USA.
Nice baritone. Yeah.
I forgot to mention we are not taking entries from Route 6.
You know what I'm fascinated by? Dave, I'm fascinated by the fact that...
I'm from Ovid, New York, so I could wave across the lake to Steve.
Oh, there you go. Sure. Upstater. So let me ask you a question, Dave. Where in the hell did you come up with that selection?
Well, my good aunt worked for Roosevelt. She was one of the scribes for the Social Security Act.
No kidding.
And she happened to come across the record, and I happened to come across the record in a stack that she had of 78s when I was about 12.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's
very cool.
Were you not able to find something obscure?
All right, Dave, hold on. Here's listener John now. John, where are you in the world?
I'm in southwest Michigan driving around the Red Arrow Highway.
All right, good. And where are you headed? You just driving in circles?
Yeah. I'm heading home from an AA meeting.
All right, God bless your recovery. Good for you, man.
As long as you don't get my last name, everything will be fine.
Yeah, no. I'm proud of you. All right, so, John, whenever you're ready, the only song you can't do is an FDR campaign song from any of his four winning campaigns.
That has been taken.
Oh, God. I have to change now.
Yeah, go with choice B.
I was going to do the Blackhawks song, but I figure that's kind of passe.
That's painful. So, all right, whenever you're ready, let me hear it.
It's The Luckiest by Ben Folds.
Okay.
I don't get many things right the first time. In fact, I've been told that a lot. Now I know all the wrong turns, the stumbles and falls brought me here. And where was I before the day I first saw your lovely face? Now I see it every day, and I know that I am the luckiest.
Wow. It's a good voice. You know, he's got a good voice.
Again, so I apologize. We are not taking any entries from Red Arrow Highway.
Oh, again, you're very specific.
No, that was really good. I like
Ben
Folds.
He's got a good voice. I thought he made Ben Folds even sadder. I thought he took him to a new sad level. But, John, nicely done. Hold on. We need to get information from all these folks as John will be judgmental soon. I thought there's kind of a Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Oh, I love Gilbert. That's my favorite. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding.
In a little while from now.
Oh, yeah.
That made me sad.
I'm not feeling very much sorrow. You know?
Oh, sometime. Yes. Oh, yeah. Huge.
I promised myself
to treat myself.
And visit a nearby town.
Tower.
Tower?
Tower.
I thought
tower?
It was town.
I thought it was town.
Well, could be.
Hey, John is judging.
Yes.
And then at 65 years old, my mother, God rest her soul.
Couldn't understand why the only man
she had ever had been taken.
Oh, that's what they say?
Yeah.
Could we be any sadder?
It's a problem with being a distant. You know how many sad songs there were from the 70s?
Yeah. I know, especially from Gilbert.
Daddy, don't you walk so fast. Song about divorce.
Oh, that's right. Daddy.
Yeah, kid crying, chasing him.
How about all the ones that killed the kids in the car accidents?
How about
Sending the Clowns? That could be the worst song ever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sending the Clowns in there, everyone wants to kill themselves.
And then was it the 60s or 70s where some drunk left a cake in the rain? When was that? Yeah.
It was right after One Tin Soldier.
One Tin Soldier. How about the night Chicago died?
Yes.
Yeah.
How about Honey?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see the tree, how big it's grown, but friend, it hasn't been too long. It wasn't big.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Or the bridge they jumped off of. What was that?
That was Ode to Billy Joel.
Yeah,
yes.
Man.
God, the 70s was filled with horrific.
I wasn't in that decade.
It's a bunch of people trying to get off the drugs they were taking in the 60s.
See, this is why I like 80s
music.
Go
ask Alice.
80s music makes people happy.
Yes. You're right. 80s was filled with crap that guys made and women made just for paychecks. Exactly right. Thank you for the entries. We will continue, and John will be judgmental as appropriate. At 9:32, we're going to hear from Dr. Skiba coming up. There is an effort and a technology behind trying to break a sports record that nobody thinks could ever be touched. The 2-hour marathon. And Nike is devoting all of their science to it, to be the first to have a sponsored athlete to run a marathon in less than 2 hours. You live in Chicago? Drive 27 miles in less than 2 hours during rush hour.
That won't happen.
Not going to happen. All right, 9:32. Back with a big story first. That's next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Now, you wouldn't believe it if I told you that I could run like the wind blows. From that day on, if I was going somewhere, I was running.
It is a common argument whenever guys get together, and women too, who love sports like guys love sports. What is the unbreakable record? What is the milestone that can't be cracked? And maybe this is it, the 2-hour marathon. The two-hour marathon, the closest, Dave, I think I'm right about this, the closest anyone's come was 201 and change. In other words, less than 2 seconds. I think I'm right about that.
Yeah, I believe so.
So imagine if you run, obviously that person won whatever marathon that was, and frankly I don't remember, but you run the 27 miles, and you realize, pick up 2 seconds anywhere in that route, and you're good to go. Maybe you stopped at a light. You know, maybe you spent a little extra time, at the water station. By the way, do those guys that run 2 hours, do they even stop for water?
I think they get water along the way.
I mean, they're grabbing it on the run.
Right. Right. Part of the reason I don't run a 159.59 marathon is I can't go 2 hours without peeing.
Yeah.
You know, and that'll kill you. That'll
I think there's a solution for that, too, but I don't know if you want to hear it.
Dr. Philip Skiba is a friend of the show. And he is involved in an amazing project in real sports, the Bryant Gumbel thing. Recently did a story about this as well. Dr. Skiba is heading to Italy to work with Nike and three elite African athletes to break that two-hour mark. Dr. Skiba, hi.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve.
Welcome back to the show. And these three athletes have been chosen, right?
Yeah, so three guys. You've got Lalisa Desisa from Ethiopia, Eliud Kipchoge from Kenya, who's also the Olympic marathon champion, and Zerzne Tedese from Eritrea, who is the half marathon world record holder.
So I was told the current world record is 202. So nobody's done it in 201. 202 is the closest?
202.57 is the current world record.
So almost 3 seconds. Is there any way to tell people who don't run marathons, oh, I don't know, me, how big a deal 3 seconds is in a marathon? I mean, for these elite runners?
Well, it's 2 minutes and 57 seconds.
Right. Oh, that's 2 minutes. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a significant chunk of time. So shaving 2 minutes and 57 seconds, almost 3 minutes off the best runners in the world's time, you're using the best science we know in medicine and the best science they know at Nike and the Nike people who do this every day.
Yeah. I mean, the real idea was, you know, to make this an exercise in what I call performance engineering. Looking what the athlete needs and how can we address specific things. So we look at their diets. Could we get some more carbohydrates into them during the run? And so we'll be handing off bottles to them rather than making them stop at water stations, for example. We're doing the race on a Formula One track so that rather than running through the streets of Chicago, let's say, and making 37 or 40 turns, they don't ever have to slow down. They can just go full tilt the whole way. We made some new sneakers for them that cushion better and should abuse their legs less as they go around the course. So we're hoping that the combination of all these things and the edits we've made to their training is going to give them what it takes to go under 2 hours.
But will weather and the elements and kind of the pavement, you know, kind of maybe nix some of that, Doctor, as far as, you know, Chicago's conditions are different than Boston's or, you know, L.A.?
Or you could get a wind in your face on the track,
sure. Right?
Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons we picked Monza is, you know, we've got a great guy named Robbie Ketchel on the case who he basically eats, sleeps, and breathes weather. And he does this for a lot of different sports. And so his job was to help find a place in the world where the temperature would be just right, where the humidity would be just right, where we'd be shielded from the wind as best as possible to try and take out a lot of those variables. And that's how we picked the Monza Formula One course.
Now, Dave, we know that athletes are bigger, stronger, and faster than they've ever been.
Right.
If you go back to 1988, that was 4 minutes slower than the current world record of that 202.57. So if it took 20 years or so to shave that 4 seconds off, it would be an incredible leap in technology and skill and achievement to be able to do it in an even shorter period of time now and to get it under 2 hours, wouldn't it, Doc?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, one of the important things to remember is that marathons are typically raced so that someone just wins. So the first half of the race is very tactical. You know, we're watching each other. Should I run a little faster? Should I not? And it's not till the second half of the race till someone finally says, okay, I'm going to go for it, full gas. And what we're doing here is doing something very different. We're telling these guys, you're going to go for it from the gun. And whatever happens, happens. So there's no tactics here. If you don't break 2 hours, the prize is not going to be what it ought to be. We're really motivating them to make this really a time trial. Let's do this 26.12 miles as fast as you possibly can. It doesn't matter about winning. We just want to get you all under 2 hours.
But, Doctor, the end game then is if you're able to do it, to take the same techniques that you've applied in this situation and take them onto the marathon course competitively?
Yeah, that would be exactly the idea. We learned a lot of things. We went to a wind tunnel in New Hampshire and tried to look at, okay, what order do you want to have your pacers in? What are their heights? And what shape should you have them run in to shield your main guys as best as you can from the wind and help them work less? That could be easily transferred to a big city marathon, for example. So it's a lot of these little things that we're trying to learn that we can then apply, you know, largely across Nike to all kinds of different sports, maybe not even just running.
So you're getting great science out of this, but Dave, you know this. There will be naysayers. I think of Diana Nyad, who at almost 60 years old swam from Cuba to Florida and nearly died in the process. And there were people saying, yeah, but, because I think she had an extra guide boat or something. There were a couple of things where she was out of the water for a period of time that they didn't. There are going to be people that go, well, it's not under 2 hours on a regular marathon course. Do you or the people at Nike care?
Well, here's the thing. One of the things we made sure of is that the course itself would be legal. So the actual race course is legal. You could hold a regular marathon there if you wanted to.
Okay.
The reasons why this won't be eligible for a world record are somewhat nebulous. You know, there's little things like the way we're handing off the water bottles, for example. Like typically in a marathon, every 5K you stop and you grab your water bottle, you run by the table and you get it. Whereas we're going to give it to these guys whenever they want it. Like, we figured out a very specific schedule for each guy. When should they be drinking and when should they be eating, et cetera. And we'll come up on a motorbike and give it to them. So you could argue that, yeah, that's kind of artificial, but it's no more or less artificial than someone having to pick something up off a table. You know, I mean, it's the question is, you know, are you going to cover the distance in the time, and are you getting any kind of unreasonable assistance? And I really don't look at this and see anything that says, yeah, that will wave a big flag to me and say, oh, yeah, this is totally not legit.
You're running a marathon in less than 2 hours. I don't know how anybody could legitimately go, oh, yeah, sure you did. You did.
Right.
That's exactly
how I look at it. And you know what? There's always going to be naysayers. I mean, the internet loves people who want to just say horrible things about other people. And, you know, then the way I look at it is, hey, you think you can go better, you know, do better? Come on, give it a try.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, we got the best scientists in the world.
Are these guys there to push each other? Are they working kind of as a team on this? Is one of them a pacer more than the other guys?
No, so all three guys are going to be equally protected by the pack of pacers. And there's guys from lots of different countries in that group of pacers. So there's no real, you know, we're trying to, you know, make sure there's no favoritism or anything like that. But, you know, as one of the guys said previously, you know, we're brothers until it comes down to the end. What will basically happen is they're going to go as long as they can. And at the very end of the race at some point, we're going to, you know, the pacers will be gone. And then it's the three of them against each other.
This happens this weekend. This happens in Monza this weekend, right?
Yeah, it depends on the weather. We rented out the track for the 6th, 7th, and 8th, whichever day gives us the best conditions. At 5:45 a.m., that's go time. So that's about 10:45 p.m. the night before here in Chicago.
And do you have a sense, I mean, you do this, you know, as part of your life at Advocate, you know, trying to find out the best way for sports medicine to go further and farther and faster as it as need be. Do you have any sense of which of these three would be most likely to achieve this, or are they all fairly equal in your eyes?
You know, it's really hard to say. You have the Olympic marathon champion, Eliud Kipchoge, who's close to the world record anyway. You wouldn't bet against him by any means. You've got Zerzanet Tedese, who's the half marathon world record holder. I mean, I sat on the track. I was in awe of how fast this guy was watching him train. Then you got Lolisa de Siso, who's won Boston. So it's like it'd be very hard to pick a favorite among these guys. If you pushed me, you know, I think that the one thing people really need to respect, I think, is Zerzanet's foot speed. He's the half marathon world champion. And if I got into the last, you know, the last mile and that guy was still with me, I would be very concerned.
It's pretty fascinating, I think, and I think you will as well. It'll happen this weekend. We'll know by the end of the weekend if, in fact, the two-hour mark was cracked. It's Dr. Philip Skiba. Does great work with sports medicine at Advocate. And I'm guessing you got goosebumps, man. Sounds like a fun weekend.
I can't wait. I'm just getting ready to head over to O'Hare now. I got goosebumps.
Yeah, there you go.
My weather app, by the way, says conditions in Monza, Italy, running conditions are good.
Oh, good. Good.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you need me to pace, I can handle the last quarter mile.
Conditions aren't as great on the Kennedy, but that's okay.
Right.
As long as you get to O'Hare.
Now, there's a marathon.
Right.
Run the Ike or the Kennedy.
There you go.
Doc, safe travels. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Dr. Philip Skiba. We like him. He's got a cool job, too, doesn't he?
How cool is that, though? Can you imagine running? Well, I can't even imagine running a marathon, but if someone doing it in 2 hours.
If you're going to run a marathon, I think do it in less than 2 hours. You got the whole day after that.
Right.
That's
right.
You know what I mean? We've got to take a break. We'll come back. Hi to everybody again, and thanks for watching CLTV. Tell your friends we do this every morning at 9, and Bill and Wendy are coming up.